And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Friday, May 26, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, it's the day prior to the long weekend. I'm sure everybody or a lot of folks are already on their holiday, their Memorial Day holiday. Please be safe out there for the weekend. There's all kinds of warnings. Not quite sure if, I guess it doesn't hurt just to be a little aware, a little more aware than you normally are, but so be safe out there. We'll talk about some of those warnings. And, you know, of course, these threats have been here before, and they'll probably be here, you know, again in the future. But we'll talk about that a little bit. But gold did react. Finally had a little reaction out of gold today. I didn't see what the dollar did today. I didn't have a chance to follow that. Gold had a high of 1270 today, and right now we're at 1268 for gold, up 1170. So a nice day in gold prior to a three-day weekend. Silver was up 18 cents today at 1740. You have platinum was up 13 at 964, and palladium was the winner of the day, up 2.5%, up 19 at $794. Even the dollar was stronger today, up 0.23 at 97.45. That surprises me that it was higher, although it's been whacked lately. But for today, and to see a stronger showing for gold today, I had expected to see that maybe a little weaker. Crude oil was up 79 cents at 49.69. And the paper markets today, I looked at it about a half hour ago. They really didn't seem to be doing much. They were up, down, and all over the place today. Looked like they barely budged, and the Dow was down 4 points at 21,078. The NASDAQ was up 5 points at 62.10. The S&P basically unchanged at 24.15. 10-year yield is holding at 2.25%. The Euro 1.12, and that was down 0.38. Emotion, the fear and greed index, you know, it's hovering around 57, so, you know, it's not down in that fear area, but it's certainly not indicating any type of real positive party, party, confidence. Party. Yeah, pardon?
Party, party, party.
Yeah, really. So I wouldn't want to be holding on to paper going into this three-day weekend. There's all kinds of Ramadan warnings coming out. I guess their month holiday begins tomorrow, I guess. And of course, I believe Russia has warned its citizens not to travel to the UK. So there's all kinds of warnings coming out. I'm trying to bring up the one that I wanted to talk about. Well, it says it's trying. You know what? I do believe these computers have ears. And I do believe they listen to what we say. I know they do. And,
I'll give you one word that they hate. Don't ever say the computer should do this. They hate the word should. As soon as you say it should or not, that's the one. That's the one they listen for. And if you say, she said should, that's the S word for computers. You understand?
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. And I think they know when we're talking on radio, it's like, we're going to do this little thing for them. So these computers are already thinking. They're already thinking to give us a problem. But certainly we had the G7 meeting. The leaders from the I'll talk about this until that pops up. The leaders from the world major industrialized nations failed to persuade the U.S. President Donald Trump to back a landmark climate deal at a G7 summit today in Sicily. After hours of talks that were described by Germany's leader as controversial, the host, Paolo Gentiloni, the Prime Minister of Italy, said the group was also inching closer to finding common language on trade. But on the issue of climate, there was no breakthrough. There is one open question, which is the U.S. position on the Paris Climate Accords. There was, of course, that was done in 2015 with Obama. And U.S. officials had signaled beforehand that Trump, who dismissed climate change as a hoax during his campaign, would not take a decision on the climate deal. Trump's economic advisor, Gary Cohen, said Trump's views on climate were evolving. So I don't know what that means. Meaning, is he going to stay with his view that, you know, it's a hoax, or is he coming around to the...
Politically correct.
That's correct. And that he would ultimately do what was best for the United States. So that was a little added bonus, thinking that it would do best for the United States. But if he's evolving, you know, it kind of puts that into question. So... So a lot of not a big, you know, surprises coming out of that meeting. They'll release more information on what really went on, as if we would really get it anyway next week. But there is a new terror threat, is what I wanted to talk about. ISIS calls for an all-out war to mark start of Ramadan by attacking innocents and civilians in their homes, markets, roads after the Manchester bombing. The twisted terror group said the killing of infidels in the West was beloved and effective. They had issued a chilling instruction to its followers to launch an all-out war. And this was actually reported out of the UK magazine The Sun. And so the jihadist group has made the call in a video message entitled, "Where Are the Lions of War?" You know, take it for whatever
it's going to be. A long, hot summer.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I think all the people that are demonstrating are going to have to take a number and get in line, because we've got people demonstrating about minimum wage. I'm going to assume blacks will be out demonstrating, of course. And then we're going to have the Muslims. They're going to want to be demonstrating one way or another. And I'm not sure we're going to have these demonstrators are going to be clashing with each other for space, both in the streets and on TV.
Well, the warning coming from the Ramadan warning certainly is not about demonstrating. So, I mean, it's something a little
bombs
bit...
Bombs are a kind of demonstration.
Yeah, okay. But the Pentagon also is planning ICBM intercept tests. Yet Chinese jets are buzzing Navy planes. I mean, folks, I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? So, preparing for North Korea's growing threat, the Pentagon will try to shoot down an intercontinental range missile for the first time in a test next week. The goal is to more closely simulate a North Korean ICBM aimed at the U.S. homeland. The American interceptor has a spotty track record, succeeding in 9 of 17 attempts since 1999. The most recent test in June 2014 was a success, but that followed 3 straight failures. You know, I'm thinking, you know, here we are supposed to be the most advanced country in the world, you know, with technology coming out of our ears. And you know, I guess this is, you know, you would just think.
There's a kind of insanity that goes with this. I'll tell you what I'd say is, in the event that North Korea can touch this country with an atomic weapon, I think you should go out and lynch everybody in Congress, the Senate, or at least try them for treason. We know this guy's talking about it. We know he's got atomic weapons. And we're going to sit there and what? Wait and give him the first shot? This guy is asking for trouble. And if people in government sit back and say, oh, let's sing Kumbaya and he'll come around. Well, maybe he will, but if he doesn't, the people in government need to pay big time. There's plenty of warning. If we can't take advantage of that warning and make sure he can't make those missiles hit this country, then there's something wrong with our government.
I mean, you could say everything, Al. You can say it with our economy. There's plenty of warnings and so forth, and no one is doing anything. So it's, again, it's like, What does anybody want to do?
Well, somebody a warning like this.
Personally, my opinion, I mean, we talked about, you know, this black swan. We talked about something happening without, you know, we wake up one day to a different world. I think that day is getting really close. And I feel, and I've talked to my clients today, and all of them have said, you know, Melody, something's coming. You know, it's just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But it's just like, you don't have all of this. And even if you look at half of the news reports and discussions, even if half of it is all propaganda, there's still some nasty stuff. Half of it is not.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get caught up all in this Russian stuff, and everything else is just sweeping by. No one's paying attention to anything. And yes, I do believe we're in a very dangerous time. It's not exciting. It's not anything. It's dangerous. And so you do have to, you can either sit by and let it take you by surprise. And I'm not one to ring the alarm bell. I don't put out red alerts. I don't do all this kind of stuff because I know most of the times it's not true. You know, but I don't know, folks. You just don't have this. I mean, people are going in. I mean, I always knew a lot of people were insane. But I mean, what's going on is you can feel it. People are acting so irrational.
Well, you really can feel it. We talked a little about that just in the last day or two on the program where I was saying, look, I doubt that there's anybody who thinks this thing's going to hold together for another 3 years. I mean, we can say, okay, we can get through this year, maybe, maybe not. Not everybody agrees that this thing's going down this year. Could. Next year? Maybe. We don't know. But how many people think we can hold this thing together for 3 years? How many can hold it together for 5 years? 10 years? Nobody believes that. Nobody. I don't think there's anyone on the face of this earth who is able to read modern media who actually believes they can hold this thing together for 10 years. So, I don't, you know, we're getting close to something, and it is unlikely to be fun. And it's quite probable that it'll be terrible, horrific. Maybe millions of people will die. You know, we talked about it just yesterday. We were talking about the Baltic Dry Index. And the percentage right now, Baltic Dry Index is about 8% of what it was, of its peak back, I think it was 2008. I'm trying to remember.
Pretty close.
I think it was 2008, but I don't remember clearly. But nevertheless, from that peak, which was a peak, it was a spike, all right? And it measures the amount of global transport cargo that's being shipped globally around the world. Right now, we're 8% of what that peak was. That tells us that the global is down 90. The global trade is down 92%, which tells us global economics are technically in a depression right now. That's not a little bump in the road or something. A 92% decline, okay, from a peak, but even from an average, it's got to be a 40-50% decline. This is evidence of certainly a global recession, probably a global depression. And nobody's talking about it. We're just going to sing Kumbaya and we're all going to get along. Only I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's the way it's going to work out. And given, the next implication on all this, you look at some of the evidence. You got this lunatic in North Korea who's threatening to nuke the United States one way or another. Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but he says he can. You have to take him at his word. I mean, you can't just say, oh, that would never happen, and then next thing you know, Seattle disappears.
But
what are you going to do with these people? You have to, you know, if the government won't do something to protect us from threats that are apparent to most people if they care to look at it, then it becomes incumbent on each of us to do what we can to protect ourselves. And that means you got to make a move. You can't just sit back. If you're going to wait... We don't know what government's going to do. I don't know what government is going to do, but they behave as if they are not going to protect us right now. And if they don't, what makes anyone think they're going to be able to protect us in the aftermath of a serious crisis? You think they'll be able to do it? Maybe. We could hope so. But there's a good chance that if they can't act and be effective right now at stopping some of the perceived threats, then what are the chances they're going to be able to act effectively after one or more of these perceived threats actually causes a real crisis, which again throws it back on you and on me and on Melody. It's up to us to do whatever we think is necessary to do the research. I don't know, food, you know, guns, ammunition, gold, silver, water. What do you need? You can't just come into this helpless.
No. You thought I was going to say something, didn't you?
Well, either that or I thought, I didn't know, you were breathing hard. That's usually a sign that, Melody just took a full tank of air. That means she's got something to say for sure.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, you see?
See what you did to my socks?
Yeah. Blame me.
But, well, of course. Uh-huh. Of course. But,
the world's anyway. One of the things that's an important statistic is that the global population has doubled in my lifetime. I did some traveling when I was a young man, really just a teenager, basically. A little bit more than a teenager, but not an adult. But I hitchhiked down to Mexico. I was led down there a couple of times. I was and Puerto Vallarta and Acapulco and Veracruz and the rest of that, had some adventures, one thing another like that. Worked my way to India and Africa and the rest of it. The world was a more hospitable place.
Yes,
you could go to Mexico and people would smile at you. Right now, there's a lot of people down there that just flat out hate the gringos. And it's not just because the gringos are doing bad things. It's because the population of Mexico has exploded compared to what it was when I went down there when I was 50 years ago. And population is going to keep on growing until everybody becomes so stressed out that it begins to resemble one of those rat experiments where they put two rats in a cage and they give them some breeding, they give them some material to make a nest, they feed them, and next thing you know, they have babies, and then the babies have babies, and the babies have babies, and before you know it, the cage is full of rats, and the rats, they were pretty benign in the beginning, they got along just fine. When the population gets too big, the rats are killing each other and eating each other. We have a little of something like that. I'm not anticipating that we're going to all turn into cannibals and rest, that sort of thing, but just the fact that the world's population has doubled in my lifetime is evidence that we're under a great deal of stress, and it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to continue to build. Maybe we'll see a crisis this year. Maybe we won't see a crisis for 5 years. I don't know when we're going to see it, but you can see that there are pressures that are building and building and building, and they're going to continue until everybody just flips out as if they cut off our meds. We're all in the insane asylum, and they won't give us our meds, Melody.
You know what? I mean, we've heard about population control. They need to wipe off, how many billions from the... And I hear the music, so we can continue this after the break.
All right, we'll get back to population control on financial survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just wanted to make a brief comment, and I'll make sure that it is brief. You know, last night I received an email, and it was accusing me of saying something that I didn't say. And as a rule, you know, I respond to all emails. I thank everyone for their opinion and so much. And, you know, if somebody thought I said something I didn't, I'll straighten it out and so forth. I get hate mail sometimes. I ignore. I think these people that have to send hate mails, I pity them, you know, just because they, you know, they must not have a good life. So I sent this guy a email, and it was returned. And it just really irritated me. Don't accuse me of something and then don't give me your email, your real name, your real email to where I can respond. I had all kinds of names I was going to call the guy on the program today, coward and everything else, but I won't do that. But I'm just telling the listeners, I want your questions. I want your comments. I love your opinions. But, you know, just make sure you give me your real name, your real email address or a phone number. No one needs to be hostile and grow up, you know. But it's just another sign. We become the computer. You know, we hide behind the computer. You know, you can go all different places and you can write things and people don't know who you are. I mean, I go to some of these chat. No, I don't go to these chat rooms. But if I'm looking at an article, yeah, I'll look at comments sometimes. Sometimes you can actually find an intelligent comment. Most of the times, it's just a bunch of people calling everybody names. It's like this world has turned into just a bunch of whiny cry babies. And it just it just
ticks you off. And one of these days that could be the black swan event. It could be the black swan that finally tips the right domino and the whole thing starts to go down.
You know what? It's just it's sad because it is a sign of our society in decay.
It
is a sign. It is a sign that we have, you know, lost, you know, any respect for one another. You know, for people to do what they do online and say the things that they do. I mean, it's a big sign, folks. And
well,
I don't. And unless we bring,
unless
we bring God back into our lives and turn things around, it's just going to continue to decay. And so you can choose where you want to be. You can go down and rot out with everybody else or, you know, stay independent. And the only way you can be independent, in my view, is your faith and protect yourself financially, you know. So anyway, take it away, Al.
All right, I've got an article here from News Target, which is a nice little, they have comments every day. They're all right. Headline is 7 Obvious Warning Signs We Are Heading for an Economic Meltdown. This is just consistent with what we've already been talking about. Lots of articles are out there. I mean, it's not hard to find. I'm not arguing that any of them are necessarily correct, but if it were something you could vote on, we can see that the election is favoring the idea that there's going to be a significant breakdown in the foreseeable future. More and more people would. 5 years ago, people didn't accept that argument. Today, you can't hardly get away from it. They had 7 national debt is the number one. National debt is spiraling. Experts say the fiscal collapse is essentially inevitable if Congress and Trump do not act to stem the ballooning national debt. We have a $20 trillion official national debt, but projections indicate we have another $127 trillion in unfunded liabilities, which means altogether we are talking about $157,000 trillion in debt right now by the government. All right? And this article points out that means government won't be able to deliver on promises to the public. Social Security, anyone? The day is coming when they're not going to be able to. You may have counted on it. They may have promised it. The day is coming when it will absolutely, it's a mathematical certainty, they will not be able to deliver what they've promised.
Now,
second
they,
item.
The budget that they released, you know, you can cut Medicaid. You can cut, you know, some of these other programs, food stamps and stuff. That's nothing. That's nothing. They can't fix anything until they address Social Security and Medicare. Those are the problems. And because there is no money there, and you have more baby boomers.
How are they going to fix it? How are they going to fix it?
They can't.
I know. That's the problem. They can't fix it. They can't come up and say, look, folks, gee, we made a mathematical error. You won't, this just don't that beat all. You know, we thought we had all this money, and it turns out we only have 1% as much as we thought we had. Boy, we're sorry about that. No, they can't do that.
Doesn't matter
have to
what
admit
they cut.
That this whole Social Security thing was a scam. It was a Ponzi scheme from the beginning. And sooner or later, there's going to be a generation that's going to get caught, and they're not going to get there. They will get little or nothing compared to what they expected from Social Security. And how will government explain? Gee, we're sorry, but we and what? Why won't they get any money out of Social Security? Because the government has used it for its own goofy programs over the last 40 years. They give it, and they say, "Oh, we'll give you a bond. See, we'll take the excess money out of Social Security, and we'll give you a promise to pay." Only they can't pay it.
I owe you.
And now those a lot of people who are planning and hoping to God that they get Social Security to support them through their golden years. All right, they're hoping they need that Social Security. They're going to find out. Sorry, we spent it on all sorts of good things, really important things that we borrowed the money from the Social Security account, and as a result, there's nothing there for you people. Might not happen for another 10, 15 years, but it's going to happen, and it may happen a lot sooner than that. You'll see projections that Social Security is going to go broke by 2030 or 2050 or something like that. I'm willing to bet you that those projections are mistaken. They are exaggerated. We'll see the trouble. We'll see the trouble long before we get to 2030. I don't think they even talk about trouble right now if that trouble isn't almost imminent. Here's the second item in the of these seven signs that we're approaching some sort of a financial debacle. Consumer bankruptcies are climbing. December 2016, January 2017, mark the first time bankruptcies have risen from a year earlier back-to-back in 7 years. March saw a further 4% year-over-year rise in bankruptcy filings. It signals the economy's in trouble. Retail closures and bankruptcies increasing. According to Zero Hedge, more than 8,000 retail stores will close by the end of this year, eclipsing the 2008 record of 6,163 retail closures. And that's the kind of statistic that impresses me, because it indicates we are in circumstances that are comparable to or worse than they were in 2007-2008. Goes on, it says bankruptcies are also on the rise, with 14 retail chains filing for bankruptcy protection in the first 3 months of this year. This contrasts with 2016, when only 18 bankruptcy filings were noted all year. We had 18 in 2016. We have 14 retail chains filing for bankruptcy in the first quarter of 2017. Cost of living is outpacing growth. The last 13 years, household income has grown by 28%, but the cost of living has risen by 30% in the same period. And I would be surprised if those numbers were accurate. I would be surprised if the cost of living hadn't risen by more than 30% over the last 13 years, but I don't know. The numbers may be accurate, but I'm just skeptical, that's all. Some of the biggest expenses consumers face have also out outpaced income growth dramatically. Medical expenses are up 57% since 2003. Food expenses are up 36%. Housing costs are up 32% in the same 13 years. Five, student debts are soaring, grown from $260 million in 2004 to $260 million. Million with an M in 2004. And here we are, and come up 2016, they're up to $1.31 trillion. Apparently, they skipped the billions. We just went from millions to trillions. All right, in what, a matter of 12 years. The default rate is almost is a little over 11%. And they point out it's hard to believe that 18-year-olds are given tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans with no collateral. And that's what happened with these student loans. Now, this is, to me, this is consistent with my notion that I don't think debt is an option. I think in a debt-based monetary system, they have to create more debt. And we saw evidence of this in subprime borrowing, which contributed to the mortgage debacle 2007-2008. We're giving money to people who weren't qualified to pay it back. Subprime mortgages. Now we have subprime automobile loans. We've had $1 trillion worth of subprime student loans. They have to create the debt in a debt-based monetary system. It's not an option. I believe, I can't prove it, I could be wrong, but I believe it's absolutely a requirement. They must create more debt, and it's the reason why the national debt continues to rise and rise and rise. It's not because Congress is incompetent or stupid. It's because we have a debt-based monetary system. I don't think it can survive unless there's more debt being created all the time. Here's another one. Car loan delinquencies are rising. This is number six in the list. In December, 6 million Americans were delinquent when it came to car loan payments. Auto loan default rates are now approaching the mortgage default rates noted prior to the 2008 crash. I think the good news is that the total amount of money that's tangled up in automobile loans, even though the delinquent rate is comparable to what they saw in 2008, the total amount of money tangled up in auto loans is probably only a fraction of what was tangled up in the mortgage loans coming into 2008. It's the delinquent rate may be similar, but the amount of money owed is not. So perhaps that's an interesting statistic, but not necessarily, you know, not necessarily a critical statistic. Here's one that strikes me as critical. This is the seventh in the list that say we're headed for trouble. Six out of every 10 Americans do not have $500 in savings to cover emergencies or surprise bills. This can set millions of people up for financial derailment if an unexpected expense comes up, even if it's small. We are extraordinarily vulnerable. If, you know, we talk about all of the things that could go wrong, and it seems almost certain that one of them, we can point, who knows, to 10, 20, significant events, potential events that could really tip this whole economy. Maybe yes, maybe no, but there's, who knows, 5, 10, 20 of these events. It seems virtually certain that one of these events, because there's a multitude of them, it seems virtually certain one of them is going to screw up. Right? It might not be the ones we're thinking about. It might be something that comes out of left field and surprises us all, but just the same, we are living in a fragile circumstance, in a fragile economy, and if one thing goes bad, maybe it results in a domino effect that puts everybody out of work. I don't mean everybody. I don't mean every single person, but a lot of people. What's going to happen to these people who don't even have $500 in savings? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to prevent them from marching in the streets and rioting? Does the government have enough money squirreled away someplace or enough food squirreled away someplace to feed 60% of the population in this country? Because they don't have it. They're going out of groceries within, I mean, if $500 is all they at maximum that they have for this, 6 out of 10, 60%. How long can you survive on $500? And then the stuff hits the fan. So it's just another one of these things. You know, it says after reading this list or after hearing this list, if you still think you don't need to prepare to survive some hard financial times, you may be in for a rude awakening very soon. That's a comment from the author of the article, the supplier on the article. But
well, we talk about each and every one of these on a regular basis. We bring the numbers. We have various examples and so forth. But it is a nice little review to what we talk about and confirmation that, you know, hey, we're not the only ones out there that are saying this. Things are going to happen. And they came out today. They revised the GDP, the first quarter GDP, they revised it upwards to 1.2%, okay, from 0.7%. You know, and they still get another chance to revise it. They're expecting the second quarter to produce a 3% GDP. How's that going to happen? They're just going to lie about it.
New math.
The revisions were led by utilities consumption, intellectual property investment, my favorite, government.
So
they just adjust those numbers to adjust the GDP numbers because no one could ever prove it wrong. And of course, private construction. And it's just like, you know, so, oh, things are all, you know, fine again. Well, you know what? No, they don't, or you wouldn't have the problems that Al just went over.
There's another point. You know? Why are people misleading us? Right? I get that. There is a responsibility where you can't tell people that the Titanic is going to ship, is going to sink. All right, there's a point in time where you got to keep people calm. I get that, but just the same, if you're on the Titanic and everyone is just be calm, everything's okay. You got to wonder why aren't they telling us the truth? It's one thing to say they're protecting us from panic, but we're headed for a calamity. And whether we panic or not is irrelevant. People are going to get hurt badly, and particularly because they haven't been warned. We're not getting an official warning that says, oh, you better watch it. The stuff is going to hit the fan. We're not getting that. We're here in Kumbaya. And, you know, happy days are here again.
The next revision comes out in July. So, Lord knows what it'll be by July. And it's just such incompetence. But
I don't even think it's incompetence. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're
doing. You have to be concerned that there are people in positions of power who presumably see some of the things we see and we talk about, and they're not saying anything about it. They're not alerting you. They're not warning you. And that does not provide, you are less likely to take care of yourself.
Such manipulation. Yep.
Bad business. Scary business. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Oh, would you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, would you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
We do still have some 90% silver. Well, of course, 90% is flowing, so we don't have a problem getting it right now. It's still at a good price. I will offer it one more day for $340. $340, silver's up big. So if I had to reprice it, the same little package would run about $10 more. Your $25 face value, 90% quarters, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Right before the program started today, I received a phone call, and it was from a client. He bought from us back in 1997, and he said to me, "I still remembered the phone number." And that just tickles my heart when I hear that. So anyway, 1-800-375-4188.
I'd got an article here about Mark Zuckerberg, I'm not a fan of Mark Zuckerberg. I suppose I'm jealous of him. Basically, a young kid, billionaire. And you can't blame him on one level. He wants to throw his weight around. I think everybody, if you or I had that amount of money, we'd want to throw our weight around too. But there is, something irritating, offensive, cause for jealousy, whatever it is. But he's the co-founder of Facebook, right? And he is, and here's an article from Technocracy News and Trends. And the headline is, Zuckerberg pitches universal basic income to Harvard grads. Mark Zuckerberg is a consummate technocrat and societal engineer, and he is telling the Harvard class of 2017 that universal basic income is the wave of the future. Will Zuckerberg drop his gargantuan billions and live with all the little people? Not a chance. But the article continues to say, in his Harvard commencement speech on Thursday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg advocated exploring a system in which all people receive a standard salary just for being alive, no questions asked. The system known as universal basic income is one of the trendiest economic theories of past years. Of the past few years, experiments in basic income have popped up in Kenya, the Netherlands, Finland, Canada, and San Francisco, California, among other places. Basic income advocates say the changing nature of work, from human labor to artificially intelligent robots, combined with the rising wealth inequality between the super rich and the rest of the peons, signaled the need for an overhaul of how money is distributed. Zuckerberg, he advocates, he's in favor of this, and he says we should explore ideas like universal basic income to make sure everyone has a cushion to try new ideas. I mean, what about trying an old idea like working for a living? We're going to try new ideas. What are they going to do? I don't know what's going to happen, but I have to admit, I agree with Zuckerberg. I'm no fan. I don't like him. All right? But what he's saying here, I think this universal basic income, something like that, is going to have to happen in order to prevent riots and murders and mass mayhem and the rest of that sort of thing. We can't just turn everybody loose and say, well, we don't need you anymore. Right, if you get work, there's we're going off on our yacht someplace and you people just, have a bottle of Ripple and enjoy yourself.
Well, that's why they all want to go to Mars.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe.
But you know what? When we were earlier, we were talking to population. And that, and you and I talked off break, that if you gather all the population in the world, you saw a report where you could fit everybody in the state of Texas.
Yeah, no, not elbow to elbow. It would be you could live in a suburban population density, and in theory, the entire population could have fit, and their homes could have fit into a space the size of Texas.
But when I was growing up, when we talked about population, it was always the food was going to run out, the water, there wouldn't be enough water. But I believe maybe it's what we're running out of is the ability to sustain ourselves. And when you talk about this, why? There's no jobs. We can't support ourselves through the work. There's not enough work there to supply everybody a living to where they can go out and buy their food. It's not that the food and water is not going to be there. I mean, we can grow. I mean, look what technology, even though it's bad food, but, you know, look how technology has changed the way they farm and so forth. And again, like I said, it's not all of it's good. But again, so growing food is not the problem. And even their technology will improve the way water is, be served. But my point is, it seems like with the population, overpopulation, it is the inability to support ourselves through work. And this type of a system, you know, where you're having a basic income supplied to everyone, sort of eliminates or is created by our inability to support ourselves.
Well, more or less, that's true. We are coming into a point where technology is replacing many people who used to have jobs. What are they going to do?
So,
I mean,
the problem
it is a terrible situation, and yet you either have to provide them with this universal basic income or welfare for everybody, essentially, except for maybe the top people, the elite, or whatever. And even then, if the rest of us, if the majority of people have to learn to get along on some basic level of income. And when they say universal basic income, they didn't say national basic income, they said universal, which means that at base, they're talking about having the same amount of income for people who live in Africa, and Asia, and South America as they have here in the United States. And it doesn't mean their incomes are going up. It more likely means ours are going down. Universal basic income. All right? I absolutely understand the logic of it. Yeah. I don't argue. I don't think it's necessarily going to work. But what else can you do? Except let them all fight it out until the population's been thinned.
It's not going to work with the number of population that we have. They will cull the population. We know that. You know, how it's done, we don't know. You know, whether it be through some sort of, pandemic, some sort of war, they're going to cull the population.
You could put something in the water like fluoride. That might contribute to the problem, the solution to the problem.
But they're running out of time, so they're going to speed up whatever they need to do in order to cull the population. Sure, they could have done things, on a slower basis. Well, they need to speed it up now because we're getting to a point where these issues have to be discussed. I mean, there's something that has to be done. And Zuckerberg, he's visiting. He's going to be a politician. He's visiting all 50 states. He's making and doing these types of presentations. He's maybe not in my lifetime or Al's lifetime, but
he's in our lifetime.
It might be, but he will be a politician. And I,
well, I don't know if
he
settled for politician. He may want to be a
president.
King or emperor.
Perhaps.
We may just do away with politicians, and we'll get a crown and a scepter and a cape and the rest of that sort of thing. We can get it. We can help. The English will help us with that. We can have our own royal family. It could be the royal Zuckerbergs.
But, yeah, again, frightening and dangerous world we live.
I don't know. But something has to be done. Right. And Zuckerberg is right about that. Something has to be done, and I don't know how much time we have to act on it. And I think government is paralyzed where they're not going to do anything until, again, the debt hits the fan. Right. They're not going to do anything until we see a real crisis, and that means we are going to be incapable, incompetent. We're not going to be able to solve this problem, address the problem, and even mitigate the problem before the problem arrives in its full force.
And if they give you money,
we can do some things. We may, I don't doubt we'll do some things, but it almost certainly won't be enough.
And if they're going to give you a universal paycheck, that means you will do what they say, when they say, and how they say.
I understand that.
You know, it's you're not going to be living.
Well, you don't have to worry about reproduction. Because the problem, one of the problems we are going to see here sooner or later is overpopulation. It will be admitted, and people are going to say, look, something's got to be done, and that means reproduction has to be curtailed. Right? And we are only going to let a handful of people, I mean, a relative handful of people will be allowed to reproduce.
The elite.
Will not,
the elite will be able to
repopulate.
Terrible things. The Zuckerbergs will be able to reproduce. Elon Musk. You know, all those guys.
Yeah, I understand. But what about the radio talk show host, Melody? What about them? What if
yes.
I decide I'd like to reproduce a little more, Melody? I don't know, you know. Just what are we going to do?
Jorge?
And we don't have answers. I'm not giving any answer on this. I'm just, all we're trying to do here is saying, look, there are significant problems headed our way, and the answers and the solutions are not apparent. We can have universal basic income for a while and the rest of that sort of thing. We try and see how it works. I'm not optimistic, but who knows? Maybe it would work. I don't know. But
I think
something's going to happen here that's going to precipitate all this trouble. And again, this is part of the reason why it's incumbent on all of us.
Where's the money going to come from?
Well, if you're smart, you'll save money you're earning right now.
No, for the universal.
Oh, I understand.
Income. Where's the
I
money going to come from?
No, just
well, actually, what it would be something like Bitcoin. You wouldn't get money. You wouldn't have a checking account. You would continue with your credit card or something like that.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you want to go out and buy yourself a new pair of shoes or a new purse or something like that. If you don't have a job, are you really going to have an opportunity? Are you really going to have enough income from the universal basic income? Will there be enough where you can just survive? Or will there be enough where you can go get a new computer, a new car, maybe a new house? I don't think you're going to get that new house. I don't think you're going to get the new car. I don't think you're going to get enough money to support the industry that makes these material products, even if the robots are doing all the work. Who's going to buy it? If we don't have any money, who's going to buy the stuff we're making? This whole thing points to a kind of collapse where all of a sudden we can't buy things because we don't have enough money, which means there's nobody working. Even the whatever few people still have jobs, they're not going to have jobs because we're not buying much anymore. What is going to happen? And I don't know. I have no idea how this is going to work out. But it looks like you're going to have to be ready to. You're going to have to be light on your feet. You're going to have to be able to roll with the punches and adapt to whatever's happening at any particular moment. There won't be much you can count on. Other than maybe your savings, family, maybe loyalty from a couple of people, maybe. Just dangerous times. And I don't see, and I take no satisfaction in pointing that out, because I know it's not as if I'm going to just skate through this. I see this coming. I'm not going to just skate through it. I may be better off than a lot of people, but it won't make any difference. This is still going to be a painful time for almost everyone. Nobody's really going to have fun during the next Great Depression. A few people will do well. A few people will prosper, but the vast majority will. It'll be like the collapse of the Soviet Union. For the people of America, it will be like the collapse of the Soviet Union, which was 10 years of purgatory before they finally began to reassemble their nations and their countries, and they began to, become semi-prosperous and whatever. So the point in all this, again, we're just warning you, trouble's coming, we don't know when, but it seems virtually certain that it's going to happen. And when it does, those people who will be best prepared for that trouble are going to be the ones who have some savings. And they're going to need the savings. And I am sure everyone listening to the program agrees with me. It would be hard to find people out, and if you just took a random audience, completely new audience, and said, "Well, we're going to have to have savings to get through this." And they're all going to nod their heads and say, "Yeah, of course they get that, all right?" But whether they can get savings given the amount of debt they already have, whether they can start saving now, is, who knows, debatable. And the next question is, it's not enough to just say, "Yeah, I got to have some savings." You can also have to say, "Yeah, I've got to have some savings," and it has to be in a medium that is not subject to being wiped out, like digital coins, digital currency. All right? It can't just be vaporized like paper debt instruments that are nothing but promises to pay someday. Promise, cross my heart, hope to die, we're going to pay you someday. Can't count on that. You're going to have some way of storing your wealth that is solid, tangible, stable, likely to survive no matter what, which again brings us back to gold and silver. Other than that, we are at the point where we're out of time for today and out of time for this week, and we'll be back on Tuesday. I want to wish all of you, hope you all have a good Memorial Day, and Melody and I will talk to you in what, 4 days, Melody?
4 days.
Okay, folks. Be safe, have a good time. Bye-bye. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstrom. May the good Lord bless all of you and me and Melody and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.